This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The future is electric. We've heard that promise when it comes to the future of transportation, from buses to train to personal cars. But what about planes? Swapping out a jet-fueled powered engine and exchanging it with battery power isn't easily done, and getting off the ground under only battery power poses unique challenges. But there's been some secret training going on in Plattsburgh and Burlington to try to get an electric vehicle up in the air. Joining me now to talk about it is Kyle Clark. He's an aerospace engineer leading the team at Beta Technologies, which is working on developing an eVTOL, or electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I hear you hate it when people call this a flying car, but I have to say electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicle is pretty clunky. So how would you actually describe it?
I think a flying car works for people who are comparing this, using it in place of a car to move through the dimension that goes up. Of course, the military loves acronyms, and they coined the VTOL a long time ago, and that's carried through. But really, it's a vehicle that switches modes of flight from going vertical to going horizontal, and we can talk about how that becomes a really efficient vehicle to get from place to place.
So, I mean, are we thinking about basically a helicopter that's modified to be an electric helicopter? I mean, is that what you would picture here?
Yeah, that's logically the first step. And there's folks that have electrified helicopters. We evaluated the probability of taking batteries and putting them on a helicopter. But the problem with a helicopter is it's terribly inefficient in flying forward, although it's very efficient in going straight up. On the contrary, an airplane is very efficient going forward, but of course it needs a runway and infrastructure. So we designed and built a proof-of-concept vehicle that switches modes while it's in the air. It takes off like a helicopter straight up in the air, and then it transitions through our big articulating outriggers to turn into an airplane, and then it flies forward. So
it's a transformer.
It's an airborne transformer, exactly. And naturally, there's the only thing holding back electric aircraft, and everybody knows this from picking up a radio even, is batteries and battery energy density. And minimizing the amount of batteries or maximizing the amount of energy you can get out of those batteries is an important part of the design. And the other half of the equation is how you use that energy. So taking off vertically allows you to get to where you're going, so you don't need to switch transport modes. And flying on a wing like an airplane allows you to use that energy, that very precious energy in the batteries, much more efficiently. So you can go a long distance at high speeds.
So you've had to tackle a number of different problems to try to figure this out. You just mentioned them. I mean, one of them is battery power and strength. Another is how heavy those batteries are. I mean, you just think about some of the battery-powered cars. And then that energy expended by getting a plane up into the air. So you've not only thought about these things, you've actually built a prototype and you're actually flying it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a 4,000-pound prototype. It's effectively a two-seater now, with a 34-foot wingspan, and we started flying in Burlington in hover flying, and now we've moved to Plattsburgh, where there's more room at the old Air Force Base, to transition from a helicopter to an airplane and back to a helicopter again.
You were doing this in secret until recently. Was it actually a secret? I mean, people must have seen this thing going and thought, what the heck is that?
Yeah, that's exactly what they said. There was a series of pictures that were posted online, screaming how silly the thing was, of course, not understanding what we were trying to accomplish when we were flying at Burlington. But I wouldn't say we were doing it in secret. What we were doing is staying very focused on an objective. And the quote, flying car industry is exploding with folks that have pretty pictures and CAD models of designs. And we took a different track. We said, let's do it for real, and then we'll tell people about it. So we formed a team of probably the best engineers Vermont has ever seen come together, former owners and founders of many of the high technological businesses in town here. We joined up and over the course of 10 months conceived, built, and flew this first of aircraft. And then we told the world about it. And when we did that, the response was, wow, it is real. And we've gotten a flood of interest, and that's actually earned us the right to build a certifiable version of this.
You know, one of the reasons that some of those companies might only have their designs that they're touting is because they don't have the funding to actually build it. And that hasn't been a problem for you. You do have backing to build this vehicle. With what purpose?
So we're really lucky in that we found a customer that's in a space where we can break through that certification barrier a little bit easier. They're actually moving organs between hospitals and manufacturing centers and refurbishing the organs while they're doing this.
You're talking about human organs. This is human organ transplant. And in some cases, synthetic organs are what we're talking about.
Yeah, in the future, it'll be synthetic organs, exactly. And in this particular customer, as far as I know, we actually have the largest and most meaningful contract in all of the eVTOL space from this particular customer, who's a forward-thinking, the CEO of United Therapeutics, Martine Rothblatt, the founder of SiriusXM Radio. She has been a thought leader in all of these interesting technologies. And when she came to us and said, how would we elicit critical thinking in this? And we said, we're going to build it and do it. She just gave us a fist pump and within 10 hours said, you're on. And we were off to the races building this first vehicle. But yeah, the end game is to move organs as the first customer. But naturally, the aircraft is super versatile and it has applications in search and rescue, medevac, and ultimately what everybody's calling urban mobility, where we're adding the Z dimension to the X and Y plane that we operate in right now. And it'll, as she says, move the world from flatland to sphereland.
So what do you mean? Like air taxis? Like instead of when I call for an Uber, you know, those few times that I'm out in Burlington, I could actually call for an Uber Air?
Absolutely.
Something like that is what
you're thinking of? So they call it Uber Elevate.
Oh, I didn't even know it was a real thing.
It's a real thing, and Uber is actually one of the thought leaders in this space. And there are a variety of others that are doing it as well. And, yeah, that's the idea around urban mobility to reduce congestion, but also for critical flights to move people around more efficiently. You know, Elon Musk wants to form the Boring Company and go underground, and we believe that it's a little less friction above ground.
Yes, so to speak. So when you envision this future, though, with all of these flying vehicles, how would we have to change – I mean, I know that regulatory hurdles are one thing, and I don't mean that. But, I mean, how would we even have to change how we think about roads and rules in the air? I mean, that goes along with a lot of – I'm picturing, you know, Jetsons and the future. But without a road that we know what it is, how just when you think about the future 30, 50, 70 years from now, how do you think of us having those rules?
Well, the interesting thing is we look at it, and the easy solution is to make highways in the sky or tubes through the air that are defined in direction and altitude and sequenced as the aircraft go through them. But that's overly simplistic in many cases. We have the ability to dynamically adapt to whatever needs are happening. We've all driven into Boston, and you see the center lane shifts from inbound to outbound with the traffic, right? Well, imagine that with multiple dimensions, right? So now we have the ability to dynamically reroute the flow of traffic in three dimensions, actually a fourth dimension if you include time, through space. And that can be done with a series of very high-speed algorithms that safely keep the appropriate spacing and put the aircraft where they need to be.
So in the meantime, before we get there, you have a cross-country flight planned for this summer to actually test out whether this could actually work in the short term.
Absolutely. There's, again, a lot of folks telling stories about what they're going to do. And we believe that flying this aircraft across the country is a real truth teller because you have to manage all the regulatory, all the local jurisdictions that don't want batteries over their head. And then the day-after-day reliability of the aircraft. And a long time ago, a doctor from Vermont, Horatio Jackson, in 1903, was the first to drive an automobile across the United States. And he's credited with changing the mindset of the automobile as a toy for the rich to a utilitarian tool. And that's what we want to do with our cross-country flight.
Well, we look forward to hearing how it goes and maybe talking to you again. Kyle Clark is an aerospace engineer leading the team at Beta Technologies, which is working on developing an eVTOL, or electric vehicle takeoff and landing aircraft. Team has been doing its research in Plattsburgh and South Burlington. Thank you very much for sharing it with us, Kyle.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.